Om Shanti, good evening. We are very happy to have Shilu Ben with us this evening. She will share on the topic, Accumulate the Power of Yoga. Most of us do know Shilu Ben. How many of us here who do not know her? Everyone, or one or two. Well, if you do not know her, at least you would have heard her voice when Baba comes, isn't it? She's the voice when Baba comes. And for those who know her, she's based in Pandabhavan, Mount Abu here, and she takes care of the global office. But more than that, she has got many responsibilities as I was going through her biodata. She's the senior faculty member of Rajyoga Academy for a Better World in Gyan Sarovar, and she's the coordinator of the education wing. And she's in charge of the Rajyoga intensive training. So many things she's doing. And of course, we know her as a very good orator. One thing I do like about her is her lightness and easiness. And the classes that she gives is so easy to understand. And all of us loves her stories very much. Well, she came to Baba at a very young age of 12. In 1960, and since then, she has traveled extensively to many, many countries. So let us warmly welcome Shilu Ben.
Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Om Shanti. Baba has taught us this very beautiful method that when we meet each other, first we meet each other through drishti, and then through the words of Om Shanti. When we meet each other through drishti, we see each other as souls, children of one father. And when we say Om Shanti, we create that awareness that we are peaceful beings. So, first of all, I would like to welcome you on behalf of me, because I've not had a chance to meet many of you in this season. I did give a class, but that was much before Baba, and after that I've not been able to meet you all. So first of all, welcome on my behalf. Though it's a belated welcome, but still welcome. And I've been given a very interesting topic to speak on, Accumulating the Power of Yoga. Let us understand the meaning of the word power first, and then we understand yoga is a power, and then we understand how we can accumulate that power of yoga. So what would be the definition of power? There are so many different types of powers in the world. We talk about money power, we talk about machine power, material power, man power, weapon power, position power. All these things are powers. And what does power do? It has two specialities. Power is instrumental for moving. You know, it moves. It gives movement. And secondly, power brings about a change. Transformation. So power does these two things. It brings movement it brings change, because anything which has movement also brings change. So movement and change go together. There cannot be movement without change, and there cannot be change without movement. So power does that job of bringing about movement and then bringing about change. And then we see that how, if all these powers were defined in a different way, the first type of powers which I mentioned, money power, man power, material power, machine power, all that would be physical. But then the other side is the spiritual power, what we call as thought power, power of knowledge. All the values are also powers. Power of tolerance, power of patience, power of humility. So these values also are powers, because they too bring change. And how does that power come? Through our thoughts. Mind is a very big power. We say power of the mind. Then intellect is also a very great power, power of the intellect. Then sanskars too are very powerful, what we say in other words as habits. Habits die hard, so they are very powerful, they don't go so easily. What we also call as the subconsciousness, which is so deep-rooted that it's very powerful. But all these things bring about a change. And definitely, there is a lot of movement in that. And then we speak about power in other three ways. Other way, this is the third way. The first way was the physical aspect of power. The second was the spiritual aspect of power. And the third aspect would be to understand all these powers in another way. The three eternal entities. Which are those three eternal entities? Soul, Supreme Soul, and matter. All the three are very powerful. Matter is no less powerful. Matter can bring a lot of change. And there's always movement in matter. Matter means that which is always moving, always changing. And soul, when soul is concerned, what do we say? That when it comes in contact with matter, there is a change even in the soul. From golden age to silver age to copper age to iron age, these stages come in the soul. But then it's only the Supreme Soul which has no change. And therefore we say Supreme Being, the highest on high. But the difference between the three is that matter changes its form as well. We do learn in science, matter is never created nor destroyed, but it can only change its form from one to the other. The energy which matter produces, it can change. But then the total sum is the same. So in that way we say matter is eternal. Matter is never created nor destroyed. But then the physical changes do come. But where soul is concerned, we say the soul doesn't change its form. It's always a point of light. That point of light doesn't change. Even if it comes in contact with matter, the soul doesn't change in the sense it doesn't get burnt, it doesn't get dry, it doesn't get wet with matter. It cannot be cut, that's what we say about the soul. And therefore, it's eternal, but yes, it changes its stages when it comes in contact with matter. But then it's only the Supreme Soul who's beyond matter, beyond any change. And because of that, he's called the Supreme. But then that Supreme Being brings about a very positive change in souls first and then in matter. Unless there is change in the soul, the change will not come in matter. Because matter is supposed to be subservient to the soul. Matter is not the master of the soul, it's the server of the soul. Soul is the master. But as we can see today, that how matter has become the master. That's why there's a very beautiful saying. They say fire is a very good servant but a bad master. For all the five elements, they are very good servants, they serve. But if they become masters, they can be very bad because they are very powerful. Someone is very powerful, but if he is subservient, if he is serving, then he doesn't use the power in a negative way. He'll use it in a positive way. But if he becomes the master, who's supposed to be a server, and he becomes a master, then he can use that power in a very negative way. The same thing is with souls, the same thing with matters, the same thing with souls. Souls have to be always obedient to the Supreme Soul, follow the supreme laws, the godly laws, the laws of nature. These laws have to be obeyed by the souls. But when the souls stop obeying and become disobedient, create that chaos, then the power is lost, the energy is lost. But then it's the Supreme Being who is beyond all that, then he can change. First he changes the souls and then he changes matter. Or the matter changes automatically when souls change. And how does he change the souls? Through the power of yoga. And how is this power of yoga used? Through the thoughts, mind, intellect and sanskars. These three are the ones which have to be made positive in order to make the soul powerful. And if they are not powerful, positive, they are negative, then the soul becomes weak. So once we understand this, we can understand the process Baba uses for making the souls powerful once again. Baba gives us the spiritual knowledge which we have forgotten. And with the help of that spiritual knowledge, the intellect is empowered. And that intellect then empowers the mind and the sanskars. Between the mind, intellect and sanskars, again is the intellect which is the master of the mind and the sanskars. But again today we see how the intellect has become subservient to the mind and sanskars. Its voice is like subdued or suppressed, what we call as the inner voice, the soul's conscience is subdued, suppressed, and the mind becomes a vagabond, a naughty horse. The sanskars overrule the intellect and the mind also. And therefore everything becomes very chaotic. And the result is so much of suffering in the world. The souls become powerless. And then matter takes over. As Baba says, we become body conscious. That means we forget our originality and we think that we are physical bodies, and therefore matter takes over the soul. The subservient becomes the master, and therefore again chaos in the world. Body consciousness, Baba says, is the root of all the evils, the vices, which then leads to sorrow and suffering. So Shiv Baba comes to give souls that strength back. How? Through the power of yoga. He first of all gives us the knowledge that we are souls. And therefore yoga, Baba says, doesn't really mean to just keep chanting. This morning Baba was saying, Shiva, 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 Shiva. No, that's not yoga. Or keeping an image in front and trying to concentrate on that image is also not yoga. Because we may be giving work to our lips, you know, by chanting any name. We are giving work to our lips. We are concentrating on some image. We are giving work to our eyes. So some people, they chant, you know, they turn the beads of the rosary. So turning the beads of the rosary, chanting and also and keeping an image in front. And they think that is yoga, meditation. Or they concentrate on that breath. And they think that is meditation. But then, with that we are giving work to our fingers, you know, chanting, turning the beads. We are giving work to our fingers, we are giving work to our lips, we are giving work to our eyes. Also maybe we are giving work to our lungs because we are inhaling, we are exhaling. So more work for the lungs. But then, where is the work for the mind? We are not giving work to the mind. We are not giving work to our intellect. We are not giving any work to our sanskars, how they should behave. And therefore, the physical aspects are there, and the result is the change doesn't come inside. Maybe during that time we are not committing any sinful actions, our hands are turning the beads, and therefore no sinful actions committed with the hands. Our lips are moving, repeating some mantras. So maybe our lips are not speaking bad words. Eyes are concentrating on image, so the eyes is not seeing something evil. Maybe even the breath is being used in a worthwhile way, and that's helping the body, no doubt. Oxygen is going to the blood and giving strength to the physical muscles and the different systems of the body. But then, what about the mind, intellect and sanskars? The change is not coming in them. Therefore, when Baba comes, the first thing Baba does is, He gives the knowledge of the soul and supreme soul, and then tells the souls, now children, remember me. Remember me. This is the real yoga. Raj yoga. Baba says, I teach you Raj yoga. What does Raj yoga really mean? It means be soul conscious and remember the Supreme Father. It's a remembrance, where mind and intellect are used. The intellect is made to give direction to the mind, what to think. And when the mind and intellect come in unison, come together, then they automatically change the sanskars. And therefore Baba gives work to the mind and intellect, and the sanskars automatically change. But between the mind and intellect, it's the intellect which has to be touched first with the understanding of the knowledge of Self and Supreme. And therefore, those who practice different types of meditations or yogas or whatever, they don't emphasize on Soul and Supreme Soul at all. And therefore, Baba says, it doesn't bring about transformation in them. It doesn't really bring about a change in them, or it gives them that strength. And therefore the result is that the world is still going from bad to worse. And then when Baba comes, he gives a change. He brings about a change. And how does he bring about this change? Through the knowledge of Self and Supreme. You know, many people in India also, they say these Brahma Kumaris, whole day they talk about Soul and Supreme Soul, Soul and Supreme Soul. They don't have anything else to talk about, only Soul and Supreme Soul. You say, well, that's the basis. People talk about values, but how will the values come? Who imbibes these values? Who makes efforts to inculcate these values? The Soul. And who is the source of these values? The Supreme Soul. So without the knowledge of Soul and Supreme Soul, how will the values come? People talk about values, but the basis is Soul and Supreme Soul. And if the basis is not understood, the foundation is not understood, how can you build a building of values? It will be of no use. The power will not come. We all talk about we should be tolerant, we should not get angry. So angry, not get angry means we should be tolerant. You know, tolerance, anger, of opposite of anger is tolerance. Peace. So tolerance and peace are values. And anger is the anti-value. But in order to overcome anger, we have to have the knowledge of Soul and Supreme Soul, because Soul is an embodiment of peace. Supreme Soul is the ocean of peace. And because that is not paid emphasis on, therefore people are not able to experience those values. And therefore what Baba did was, first of all, he gave knowledge of the Soul. You know, Brahma Baba, how he practiced this. At the beginning when Shiv Baba told him, you are a soul. How Baba practiced it? He used to write on the walls. You know, when he would look at Yashoda, his Laukik wife, how he made his vision pure. He would write on the walls, Yashoda is a soul. Yashoda is a soul. Yashoda was Baba's Laukik wife's name. Yashoda is a soul. Yashoda is a soul. Everywhere he would write on the walls. So whenever he would look at Yashoda, he would also read the writing which he had written. Yashoda is a soul. And that helped him to change his vision, seeing her as a soul. Otherwise it's not so easy. You know, we tell the story of Mahatma Gandhi. When Mahatma Gandhi took up this pledge that he wanted to give freedom to India from the Britishers, he had in mind that I can do that only through non-violence and truth, you know, these two values. But then in order to experience that truth and non-violence, he knew that brahmacharya, celibacy, was important, because only then the strength would come to practice truth and non-violence through celibacy. But then he was not able to really overcome this vice of lust. He has written in his autobiography, it was very difficult for him to conquer lust. And then he thought of an idea. because he had taken inspiration from Swami Ramakrishna Paramhans, the guru of Swami Vivekananda. And Swami Ramakrishna Paramhans, he was married right from childhood. But and because, you know, in the earlier days, the children used to be born, okay, my daughter, your son, and therefore they'll get married. So right at birth only they would be like married. So he was, right from at birth itself, his parents got him married. Now that girl, she was his wife. But then he did invite her. But the first day when she came, he told, "You're my mother, Sharda Ma." He saw her as his mother. And his vision became completely pure right from day one, because he saw her as his mother. So Mahatma Gandhi took this inspiration from Swami Ramakrishna Paramhans, that I will call my wife as mother, Ma, Kastur Ba, you know, Gujarati, they say Ba to mother. So when he had that consciousness, he changed his consciousness. Kastur was his wife's name, Ba. She became Kasturba, the mother Kastur for everyone. And so then he wrote his autobiography, "The day I changed my consciousness and saw her as my mother, then I could practice celibacy." That was in Mahatma Gandhi's books. But now for Brahma Baba it was different. He's the father of humanity. Father of humanity next to Shiv Baba, the creator. So for him, everyone is a child. All are his children, whether it is Yashoda or anybody else. So if Yashoda is also a child, a daughter, how can he say she's mother? How can he say that? So for him, even Yashoda was a daughter. Now, many people question, you know, they ask me, who found it more difficult to change the vision? Did Baba find it difficult to change his vision when he saw Yashoda? Or did Yashoda find it difficult to change her vision when she saw Baba and saw him as her father? Just imagine, husband being seen as father. Just imagine. And wife being seen as daughter. So for whom was it more difficult to change the vision? What do you think? For Yashoda. For Baba, of course, because Shiv Baba was in his body, so there was help of Shiv Baba. But of course Brahma Baba did make his efforts to change his vision. So he used to write on the walls, his daughter-in-law, Dadi Brijendra Dadi, he was his daughter-in-law, her name was Radhe, Radhika. So Radhika is a soul, Radhika is a soul. He had great attachment for his daughter-in-law. She was very beautiful, from very high family, and very much devoted to Baba. She later on became the zonal in charge of Maharashtra, Dadi Brijendra. So she's one of the original jewels. So how he changed his vision is attachment towards his daughter-in-law. Of course, daughter was married, so another her family, if the in-laws, so that attachment wasn't there, but with daughter-in-law there was more attachment. And she used to have so much respect for him, more than her father. That much respect she had for him. So he would write, "Radhika is a soul, Radhika is a soul, Yashoda is a soul." And everywhere on the walls he wrote that. So all the time that consciousness was coming to him, that they are souls, they are souls. And then when Shiv Baba came in his body, at that time, Baba did not understand, who is speaking through this mouth? I'm not speaking. My brain is not working, but someone else is speaking. Because he would take the Gita in his hand, and that's what he used to do before also, and then recite the Gita shlokas. But then the Gita book would remain shut even before opening, how Shiv Baba would come and speak through his mouth. And he used to wonder, who is speaking? I'm not speaking, but somebody is speaking through this. So there were many trance messengers who then informed Baba, "Baba, how Shiv Baba comes in your body and speaks through you." Because he used to be surprised. Because they used to see how Shiva Baba would come in his body and speak through trance experiences. So Brahma Baba could change himself because of the knowledge of soul and supreme soul. And this is what Shiv Baba does. He gives us the knowledge of soul and supreme soul. And knowledge is power. So through that knowledge, the intellect works and changes the mind, and then the sanskars also change, because I am a peaceful soul. So I cannot do anything which should be against peace. So I have my self-respect, and therefore no ego, but self-respect is totally maintained, and therefore there won't be anger, but definitely I have my self-respect. I am a peaceful soul. Nobody can snatch away my peace. So how to now, this is the power of yoga. How that power of yoga works in the soul. But now what we need to do is to accumulate that power of yoga. How do we accumulate it? There are different ways to accumulate. One is you are earning and in this way accumulating. But the other way is also is that you are not wasting, and that is how you are also accumulating. Because if we waste, then we are not accumulating. If we don't earn, we are not accumulating. So two ways to accumulate. First is through earning. Second is through not wasting whatever I already have. Because if I'm wasting what I already have, then definitely I will not have anything because I wasted it. So I can't accumulate. So how to accumulate this power of yoga? The two methods, earning and not wasting. And Baba teaches us the different ways of how to earn. How to earn this yoga power. From morning till night, when Baba says, whilst performing any action, you remember me. Remember me. Sit in yoga. Give time to yourself. Divert your mind from all other thoughts and become soul conscious. Yoga is like, Baba gives an example, yoga is like, you know, a shield which protects. Yoga is like an armor which protects. In the earlier days, the soldiers used to carry a sword in one hand and a shield in the other hand, and used to wear an armor sitting on the horse and running in the battlefield. So the sword was meant to attack the enemy, and the shield was meant to defend the self. And the armor, of course, was there to defense, to protect the self from the other one's dagger or sword. So sword was for attack and shield and armor for defense. So Baba also tells us that you are spiritual warriors. You are given these weapons, the sword of knowledge and the shield of drama. Drama is, it was also, they show the shield always round. So the drama and the armor of yoga, meditation, that's your armor, it's your protection. Drama is also a protection. Knowledge of drama is a very big protection. When thoughts go waste, too many negative thoughts, too many waste thoughts, too many questions, too many, you know, too much stress. Because of these unwanted thoughts, immediately say drama. It will stop all your waste thoughts. You will defend yourself. You will protect yourself from wastage. Drama is such a beautiful way to come out of that stress. And therefore Baba uses these two words, not and dot. Not means it's like with the help of knowledge you are cutting that negative thought. No, no, no. And with the help of dot, the knowledge of the drama, you are protecting yourself. So, in this way, Baba says, you are able to accumulate. By not allowing waste to come, and also creating positive thoughts. So in meditation, we don't stop our thoughts. We don't stop. Some people, when they do meditation, you know, many different types of meditations, they also aim to just stop thoughts. They use the word chitta vritti nirodh, suppression of thoughts, suppression of feelings. Suppression is suppress. Baba said, you don't have to suppress. You have to make it sublime. You know, different between suppression and sublime. Making it sublime, making it elevated. It's like dirty water. Now you want to clean that dirty water. How do you do it? You can, if you want to clean it, okay, maybe just leave the water for a while and all the dirt, the heavy particles, maybe they will settle down and there'll be some clean water at the top. But that's not a very, very right way of cleaning the water. The other way is filtering the water. Okay, you get the clean water and that the dirt remains in the filter. But again, it's not 100% clean. So which is the best method for cleaning 100% that water? What is the best method? Which is the higher method? One is to allow the particles to settle. Then you get some clean water. The other is to filter that water to get some clean water. But which is the highest method? Yes? Yes? Boil it. Boil it. And allow the steam to evaporate and then condense it. You know, it's called a distillation process. That's what we learn in science. Where you boil the water, make steam, and that steam is very, very clean water. It is water. Steam is also water. So, but it is in a vapor form. And that vapor goes above and then it gets cooled and then it comes down as very, very clean, 100% pure water. And the dirt remains. So the distillation process. And now what Baba uses is that distillation process. Okay, by suppressing, it is like allowing the dirty particles to settle. Okay, no thoughts, no thoughts, no thoughts, no thoughts. Blank, blank, no thoughts. Sometimes Baba says, okay, even if you say no thoughts, but even that's a thought, no? I should have no thoughts, no thoughts, no thoughts. But that's also a thought, that I should have no thoughts. So that's not the right way of accumulating any power or getting purity or getting your mind or making your mind pure. Okay, the other method would be to filter. That means if any impure thoughts comes, don't allow that impure thought to come into action immediately. Wait, wait, wait. Allow the intellect decide what will happen. What will happen if I do commit this wrong action, because the thought is coming, I want to kill, I want to kill. But the intellect says, no, don't kill, you will be hanged. The intellect is warning, because if you take somebody's life, you will have to give your life. Life for life, this is justice. Whatever you do, you get back. So don't do that, you'll be caught, you may be hanged. So the intellect is telling the mind, but the mind saying, kill, kill. And he says, okay, 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 I won't. Because there's a big battle going on between the mind and the intellect. It's not so easy that somebody says, somebody wants to kill and he just kills. It comes through a very, very long, you know, thinking, not just like that. There must be a very big battle going on in the mind before somebody really kills. So, but then he's suppressing that thought. No, yes, I want to kill. Again, intellect saying, no, don't kill. Again, the mind says, I want to kill. Then the sanskars are also helping the mind, and the intellect is being suppressed. So this is like the intellect trying to filter that thought, but the intellect is not sometimes, successful in that. The mind and sanskars take over, and then that wrong action happens. But then what Baba uses is, the method the Baba uses is to make it sublime. I see that soul as a pure soul. Nobody is really bad. Nobody. All souls are so good. All souls are very pure. Every soul is a peaceful soul. Every soul is a lawful soul. Even that one is a lawful soul. See his good qualities. See his goodness. See your own goodness. And again, it's like a sublimation. That impurity is finished, is destroyed. And the pure thoughts come in the mind and intellect, and thereby even the sanskars change. So what actually is the power of yoga? It is just the pure thoughts which the intellect gives to the mind through that pure knowledge which Shiva Baba is giving to us. And that helps in remembering the Father. Because now I have complete knowledge of who I am, who my Father is, where I am from, what am I supposed to do. Then Baba also says, turn the Swadarshan chakra, the knowledge of the self in the cycle. We have to turn that also. That also will purify the mind. When Baba talks about the five forms, who was I in the soul world? Who was I in the golden age when I came on earth at the beginning? Who was I in copper age? A worshipworthy soul. Who am I now? A Brahmin. What am I going to become? An angel. So all the five forms are very, very positive forms. A point of light as a soul in the soul world, a deity in golden age, worship-worthy soul in copper age, Brahmin at some confluence age, becoming an angel, going to the subtle regions and then going back home. It's such a beautiful feeling, which is not imagination. It is not an illusion. It's not hallucination. It's a reality. And who is telling us this? It's God Himself. God is the truth. And therefore Baba says, in yoga, faith is very important. Without faith, you can't even think of this. Because again, question will come, who knows whether golden age will come or not? Who knows whether I'll go to the soul world or not? Who knows whether I'll become a deity or not? Who knows? Who knows? So if you think in this way, it's not meditation. Churning is different from who knows, who knows. Huh? Some people say, but this is, I'm churning. No. Churning has a basis of faith. Without faith, you can't churn. Suppose you don't have faith in Paramdham. Can you churn about Paramdham? I don't know whether Paramdham exists or not. Will you say like that? Because the faith is there. Who has told me this? It's not any human being who has told me this. It is God, the truth. So if that truth Himself is saying this, that faith is there, then the churning is very proper. Okay, I have the faith. Yes, I was in Paramdham. Now with that faith, churn. What my stage will be in Paramdham. Very pure, very close to Shiv Baba. As a necklace round Shiv Baba's neck. Enjoy that feeling. What will I be in golden age? So close to Lakshmi Narayan. What will I be in copper age? Worship-worthy soul. So with that faith, you are churning the Swadarshan Chakra, the five forms of the self. That's meditation. Now this will help you to accumulate power within. This will help you to transform yourself within. This will help you to purify yourself completely. Because I'm always thinking of these five forms. That's why Baba, before Baba used to say, okay, have long sittings. But then gradually Baba saw that how children cannot sit for long. Okay, every hour. 5 minutes every hour, 10 minutes every hour. If you can't do that, okay, 1 minute every hour. Okay, 5 seconds every hour, you know. Because you can't do for long. And let it be a different form of sitting. Like Baba said in today's Murli, that, okay, when you're sitting in meditation, let it not be like a regular way of sitting. Let it be a little different. Then you know that really you are meditating. Though Baba says it is natural, but still, if you have a different pose, then definitely you are aware that yes, you are meditating. Otherwise, okay, I'm lying down and meditating. Alright, I'm sitting on a sofa and enjoying and meditating. No, let it be. Be firm with yourself. You don't have to do Padmasana, Baba said. No, you don't have to do that. Like putting both your feet up, like a lotus posture. You don't have to do that. All cannot do it. So it's not necessary. You can't do Shirsasana, putting your head down and legs up. Shirsasana, you know, balancing on the head. Baba says, no need. No need to balance on the head. What you need is balance off the head, not on the head. You know, big difference between balancing on head and balancing off head. So let it be off head, not on head. Don't have to have a lotus posture sitting, no need. Those who have rheumatic pains or, you know, arthritis and all body pains, they can't do that. So it doesn't matter. But you can definitely sit in a very normal position and just be detached from the body. Because even Patanjali, Patanjali Yoga, when the asana word is used, posture, but nowhere Patanjali ever mentioned that it has to be lotus posture, it has to be this posture, that posture. He said any posture in which you can sit for a long time comfortably, let that be your true posture. What you call a sukhasana. The asana, the posture, the seat in which you feel very comfortable. But it should be definitely with some discipline, not lying down and, you know, like that laziness. Not with the laziness, but with the discipline. But no need to give penance to the body. And therefore Baba says, let this meditation be very easy. Baba does not want his children to really labor. Baba does not want his children to feel penance. You've already had that penance for 63 births. Too much of bhakti. You have given so much torture to your body. That's what they do in bhakti. So much torture to the body. Baba says, now no need. This body is also like a temple where the pure soul is sitting. Think in that way. So I have to take care of the body to, of course, not have attachment with the body. But this body, Baba says, is also very precious. Because if you say, okay, I want to die, I'm not very attached to the body, I don't mind dying. But if you take another body, you won't have time to make efforts. Therefore, protect this body also. Baba was saying in today's Murli, the longer you live in the body, the better for you because you can make more efforts. Don't think of ever committing suicide or leaving the body. Never. Even if you are not well, never mind. Take medicines, but live in this body so that you can become perfect, complete whilst in this body. Otherwise, you'll have to go to Dharamraj Puri and get punishment to finish all your past karmic accounts. So let that be finished here. And even if any physical ailment comes, be happy, doesn't matter, karmic accounts finishing. Take care of it also, but no attachment. Use your wealth in a worthwhile way. Even that is it's something useful in life. It's not that wealth has to be considered as maya and just thrown away. No, no. We have to use it in a worthwhile way. The more we use our wealth in a worthwhile way, definitely we are accumulating in our good accounts. So body, mind, wealth, our thoughts, this physical body, the wealth, You know, our time, all are being used in a worthwhile way. All that is being accumulated in yoga power. So accumulation of yoga power means, power of yoga means accumulating in every way. Using your physical energy also in the right way. Using the thoughts of the mind too in the right way. Using your wealth in the right way. Using your time in the right way. So everything is being used in a worthwhile way that is accumulating. And secondly, accumulating, as I said, not wasting. So whenever the mind is gone astray and all any waste thoughts or any other thoughts come, just say no. It's like applying a brake. Very important. So powerful brake is necessary. The intellect should stop the mind from thinking instantly. That is a powerful brake. So the intellect needs to become very powerful in order to the intellect not allow the mind to think. And for that, Baba says churning is important. Churning is also part of yoga. As chanting is not part of yoga, but churning is definitely part of yoga. Because in this way I'm purifying my mind, I'm purifying my intellect, I'm giving strength to my intellect and thereby changing my sanskars. So how to accumulate this power of yoga means transforming my intellect, my mind and sanskars. That is the power I'm using. So I'm using the power, but this power is also being accumulated. It's not that it's not being accumulated. Using power doesn't mean wasting it. Using power doesn't mean finishing it. It means accumulating it. Like Baba said the other day, that if you give happiness to others, it's not that your happiness will reduce. Because all these values, they are powers too. And the more you are sharing with others, the more you are sharing with yourself too, you are accumulating. If you think that you are a peaceful soul, the child of the ocean of peace, resident of the abode of peace, that thinking is using your energy, no doubt, of the mind, but then it is accumulation, it is not wasting. But yes, negative thought and waste thought will definitely waste your energy. And whenever any such thought comes, just say no. Just say drama. And that will bring an end. Many children don't know how to use this word drama. You know, for everything they'll say drama. Everything drama. No, no, no. Drama should not be used before the action. Action has to be performed first. Don't say, oh, whatever is in the drama, it will happen. Baba says you won't even get a glass of water to drink if you say drama for everything. Because if you want water to drink, you'll have to go, no, to the kitchen. You'll have to go and open the tap, take the glass and take the water and drink. If you just say drama, will the water come by itself into your mouth? If it is a drama for me to drink water, I will drink water. Will you say like that? You have to make the efforts, no? So this knowledge of drama should be used only after the action has been performed. What we say is, in the Gita is very beautifully written in Sanskrit, there's a shloka, karmane vadhika raste ma phaleshu kadachanam. To perform actions is your own right. You do the best you can. But leave the fruit to God. Don't think of the fruit. Just think, do the right actions. Leave the fruit to God. Whatever God has to give to you, He'll give you. Now we say, well, whatever you do, you reap. It's not God is giving fruit to everyone like that. You reap the fruit according to your karma. But you surrender the fruit to God. That's what it really means. If you get success, then don't have the ego that I did it and therefore I got success. If you do not get success, don't be unhappy because at least you did the action right. Never mind, it was a learning. Nothing is ever a defeat. Maybe it's a failure, but that failure is a learning. It's not a defeat. With every step you are learning. No one is complete. So this knowledge of drama has to be used in this sense. That when the action is complete, okay Baba, I give it to you. Now it's up to you whatever result you want to give me. Then whatever happens, okay drama. So if there is success, then also drama. Baba did it. If there's no success, then also drama. Never mind, I learned from it. It's not a defeat. I can do it again. So let this knowledge of drama be used only after the action. Before that, I have to practice. I have to make the efforts. I have to keep the courage. And therefore Baba says, between courage and help. Baba says, you keep the courage and I will give you the help. But between courage and help, there is in between the word determination also. That also goes with the action. Courage and determination go with the action. And then help is in the form of the fruit of it, which will help you to get success. And if the success comes, don't have the ego, I did it, no, Baba did. And if no success, be happy, at least I did the action well. Baba, I tried my best. And if the success comes, always think I'm only an instrument, Baba did it through me, and therefore thanks to Baba. No, many people, what they do, they take the reward. I did it, and therefore they take the reward. And Baba says, if you take the reward, then you will also will have to take the insults. Because when we don't get success, people may insult you, people may abuse you, people may, you know, they may say bad things about you. So don't take both. If you take the praise, then you have to take the defamation also. So neither take the praise nor take the defamation. You don't have to take defamation if you haven't taken the praise also. Because Baba did, I didn't do anything. So this way you understand drama. That whatever happens, it was in the drama. But after the action, you do your best in Baba's remembrance. And that will help you in accumulating your yoga power. Before you perform any action, tell Baba, Baba, come. You're invoking Baba. And you're not doing alone. 1,000 arms, hands of Baba are working with you. Therefore Baba also says, children, use me. Many children say, oh, how much trouble should I give to Baba to help me? I will do it myself. Baba says, no, you keep the courage, have the determination, and then allow Baba to work through you. Not allow Baba to work through you without the courage and determination. Because you have to reap. Baba is not going to reap. But he will help you only with these two steps. Courage and determination. And, of course, I'm not alone. Baba is with me. This will help me to accumulate. This is also power of yoga. But don't forget Baba. At every step, I am not alone. I am not alone. People in the world feel so lonely because they are neither soul conscious nor God conscious. And therefore they feel so lonely. They think everybody has deceived them. Everybody has left them. Everybody has isolated them. They are all alone. But on the contrary, what we Brahmins feel, when we are alone, are we happy or we are not happy? We are so happy. Why are we so happy? Because there's no loneliness. There's always someone with us. Baba is always with us. So loneliness is never used by Brahmins. The positive word is solitude. That's a beautiful word. Solitude is very beautiful because you can be with Baba. You don't need anybody else. Whether you are in a company, you can still be with Baba. And if you are not having any other company, you are still with Baba. So always in company. You are not alone. Even in the midst of that company, you can still be in solitude. You can be still with Baba. And even if no company, then also you are not alone, you are with Baba. This is accumulating the power of yoga. And when that power is accumulated, of course, Baba says, your fortune is becoming multi-millions. At every step you are earning multi-millions. So how fortunate are we? How much have we earned? What does each one of you think? A lot of earning? Is there more expenditure or more earning? What do you think? Those who think my earning is much more than my expenditure, raise your hand. Not everyone is raising. Why not everybody raising? Did you understand? The power which I am getting from Baba, is my earning more than my expenditure, or is my expenditure more than my earning? Those who say expenditure more because waste thoughts come, impure thoughts come, then I have to have a battle inside, and so much of my time is wasted and all that. In that way, you are losing. So that shouldn't happen. And for that, Baba has given us the armor of yoga. In a second, I am a soul. Let go. Let go. You know, that thing cannot attack you because you have put on the armor. Be a flying bird. You have the wings of knowledge and yoga. You have the wings of zeal and enthusiasm. So nothing can stop you. In a second you can let go and fly. A soul is like a bird, we say. A bird in a cage and a bird in the sky. What's the big difference between the two? A bird is meant to be always free. So I'm a soul which is a free soul. Freedom is also one of my qualities. We all love freedom, but we are binding ourselves in our own cage of body consciousness. And therefore Baba says, become free in a second. And that freedom internally, internal freedom will help me to accumulate. Okay? So let us practice that. Experiencing freedom. Anybody has any question? Speak loudly. Is in a lot of churning. Come in the front end. Charity. Oh, a lot of accumulation in charity also. Yes, that's another thing then. Charity means you are able to share that with others. You are physically, mentally, financially, if you are helping souls, of course you are earning a lot through that charity. Why not? So your thoughts, your words, your actions, you are giving knowledge to others, seva. In that also way you are accumulating. So that is there. That accumulation is there. So accumulation through, you know, with the power of yoga. So that's what that main topic was. Of course, in a lot of ways you are accumulating. Not a lot of ways. But what I really wanted to say was, my yoga power should be so strong that I'm accumulating at every step through that. Accumulating through charity, through giving knowledge, service, all that accumulation is there. Why not? But then, only if I'm just serving other souls but not doing yoga myself, then even if I'm serving others, that service of others will not bear fruit because internally I have no power. And then I say, oh, I did so much service, I'm so tired. Because you have finished all your energy. You did service, but you didn't accumulate the yoga within you. Even that service should not make you feel tired at all. On the contrary, it should give you more enthusiasm. It should give you more spirit to serve. No tiredness should come. But if the tiredness comes, it means internally I'm empty. But I'm only serving externally. So internally I have to accumulate, and then service will happen automatically, now Baba says. You will be invoking souls and souls will be coming to you. Even that, we are seeing how success is coming at your steps, at your doorway, at your door, yeah. Now the time has come. People are wanting, are asking for this, you know, they are looking for it. And we are here to share, but then for that, we need to accumulate. And then Baba says, the time will come when you will not get time for yourself. You will only have to give and give and give. So whenever you get the time, accumulate, accumulate. Okay? Amisha.
Okay, thank you very much, Shilu Ben, for that lovely class. I think you'll be happy to know that the latest Avyat Muli in English is now available. So you can get a copy from the global office. Thank you.
So let us now keep the aim of accumulating. Let me go within. I become aware of my true form. My powerful form. My perfect form. In which I am the embodiment of all powers. I am an embodiment of peace. Peaceful soul. I accumulate the power of peace within. How peaceful I am. I am in the company of the source of peace. In the world of peace. I'm surrounded by peace. Peace is the power within me. I'm so light and detached. I am a powerful soul. The child of the Almighty Father. Very detached and light. Free from all pulls of matter.